Hi, I'm Pastor Sandy Shear. Thank you so much for joining us for the Guts Church podcast. This week, we have the privilege to hear from Pastor Bill. The message was produced with you in mind, and we would love to hear your story of how God is showing himself faithful in your life. Share your story by emailing story@gutschurch.com.
What are you putting your hope in? The idea of your life, if no matter what you see, no matter how you feel, Scott, are you the head or the tail? Scott's the head. Are you above or beneath? Who's greater, what's in you or what's in the world? What's in it? Okay, that's how we have to stay. We've got to, no matter what we see, our hope has to be in Jesus. Write that down, right? My hope is in Jesus. My hope is in God's promise. My hope is in what God is offering me. And then what ends up happening is, man, goodness and mercy, man, so many things. In John, the 15th chapter, in the 7th verse, it's amazing. I was talking to a couple guys, and we were just having a little fellowship in the Word and just talking about our week before the service. And I heard one guy say, you know, I mean, I was having a bad week, but then I went to John 15. I started reading. The other guy said, man, I've been in John 15. And I pulled my notes out, and I showed it to him. It's like, oh, my gosh, we're all in John 15. But listen, John 15 and verse 7, Jesus said this, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. I mean, what? It's not. Listen, I'm not kidding you. If you look at this without knowing God, it sounds like a fairy tale. It sounds like it's way too good to be true. He just simply said, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you. See, you have to be in the Word. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you guys were in the Word today? See, no matter what kind, man, no matter what, all day you're gonna get reports, you're gonna get news, and things are gonna hit you, you're gonna get reports. No matter what it is. And let me just tell you, if the Word's not working on the inside of you, your flesh isn't gonna know any better but to grab a hold of the report that the world's giving you. The report that's being thrown at you by the world. And I'll just tell you what's amazing is if we rely on this, but here's it's if it's working on the inside of us, if God's word is alive and powerful and truly sharper than a two-edged sword, and it really is working on the inside of us, then man, anything you ask, anything you desire, you'll have it. And that's what God gives us. Here's what the Amplified says. Listen to this. So put it up on the screen, the Amplified. It says, if you live in me, abide vitally united to me. You see that? It's got to be vital. It can't just be, well, I'm going to give it a shot. You can't read the word like you're reading a novel. You know, I love the New Living Translation. I love the what's the other one? The Message. I love the Message Bible. What other one you want to say? Yeah, but man, I'll go to the New King James. I'll go to the American Standard, and I'll go to the Amplified. And I'll tell you why, man. The Amplified, man, it becomes more not it's not scientific, but man, it's louder. It's amplified. No, what it does, man, it makes it. Listen to this. If you live in me, abide vitally united to me. Man, vitally, that word vitally there is, man, it's huge. And my words remain in you and continue to live in your hearts. Ask whatever you will and it shall be done for you. See, this is the life of freedom that we're all getting. This is why it's Big June. Man, I'll tell you right now, man, any of you guys that have been serving God, any of you guys that have helped people and not been thanked for it, any of you guys that have given, any of you guys that have sown seed, and man, any of you guys that are faithful in tithe, let me tell you, man, it's just unimaginable how incredible God works on our behalf. Man, I get a phone call today from the boy that Brooklyn's going to marry in a matter of weeks or something. He called me today and said, I just wanted to let you know, I just got off the phone with Brooklyn, but I want to let you know that I just signed a 3-year contract. Just got a new 3-year contract with the Philadelphia Eagles. But I'm like, man, that's incredible. That's amazing. And as I'm saying it, all I want to tell him is, look, man, that goes with God's favor on your life. Man, here it is. I mean, one of the youngest men on a pro football staff and just signed a 3-year contract. Listen, man, do some research. Google it when you go home. Man, that's unheard of in that business. Why? It's because, man, God's favor is on his life. Man, he's doing a good job. You know what? I guarantee you, man, at his appointed time to be there, he's early. I guarantee he's very alert. I guarantee he's getting his job done. See, that goes with it. So you have to understand, you just can't sit on your Barco lounger and twiddle your thumbs and watch reruns and think that God's going to work on your behalf. Man, the Bible says that we make hay while the sun's shining because night's coming where no man can work. I'm telling you, we're believers. We're Christians. We've got to get after it. Man, we've got to get out there and be the best employees and the best salespeople and the best employers that anybody's ever seen. Man, our hearts have got to be right. And then what happens, man? Man, because the word's working on the inside of us. What does the Bible say about our employment? Man, the Bible says work heartily as of unto the Lord. Render unto Caesar what's Caesar's. Man, you might say, well, I'm working for an unholy boss. Do you understand? No, wait a second. Everybody just press pause on your life right now. If you're working for an unholy boss, maybe God has you in that position to reach him. How about that, huh? Man, how about if you're the best employee that he's ever had? He may very well take notice of what you stand for and whose life you've given yourself to. See, that's how it works, just like this. Man, he might say, well, but he's cheated me out of so much, or man, he's overlooked me for promotion. Let me just tell you, you don't really want men to promote you anyway. Promotion doesn't come from men. It doesn't come from laterally. The Bible says it doesn't come from north, south, east, or west. It comes from above. Man, God's going to promote you. Either God's hand's in your life or it isn't. But see, what we have to do is we have to live in the promise of God's word. I mean, that's essentially it. You want to live a life of freedom? You've got to live in the promise of God's word. Man, write that down in your notes. They're going to put it on the screen when they wake up there, and it's going to, you got to live in the promise of God's word. Man, that's a choice that you have to make. And then you think that you go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, the first verse, it says, now it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all the commandments that I've commanded you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations. That's actually races or cultures of the earth. Man, if you'll ask me, what's the grand objective of this church is to build a culture in this church that's stronger than our society. No matter what's happening out there, I'm telling you, everything that can be shaken will be shaken. But guess what's going to stand? God's word, God's promise, everything that's built upon that, the foundation of God. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. In the margin of your Bible, just write the word there. That you simply obey the word. See, now it takes all the man-pleasing and all the suck it up that you feel like that you might have to do. No, you don't. You just go out there and you get after it. And then all those blessings, man, they'll come upon you and they'll overtake you. Man, but the opposite of that is if we live in the flesh, if we're dominated by sin. But it shall come to pass, verse 15, if you don't obey the voice of the Lord your God. Man, if you go by how you feel, if you follow after and serve your flesh, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Do you remember Sunday? If you're here Sunday, I talked about a curse. Man, a curse, listen, don't think of it like voodoo, all right? Think of it like a suppression. Think of it like an unholy lid that's in your life. Maybe you've been operating in your life all your life. You've barely had enough to make it. You've never had a nice place to live. You've never had a good vehicle. Maybe you just kind of limped along financially through life. You know, you've got to wake up, and I say you wake up today, and you see the writing that's on the wall, that there's an unholy suppression that's keeping you under. And again, I ask you, just like I asked Scott, are you the head or the tail? Man, he said, I'm the head. Man, I'm the head. Man, that thing begins to suppress your life. I guarantee it happens in Scott's life, one of my best friends. Man, that suppression hits his life. He's got to put a demand on God's promise. God, I thank you that I'm the head. This suppression cannot abide. God, why? Because, so what happens? So it's either black or white. It's either light or dark. It's either God or Satan. Jesus said, you're either for me or against me. There's no gray area. Matt, there's no middle ground. You got that suppression? If that suppression comes off your life, you're not going to live in a vacuum. What's going to happen is there's going to be a lift that's going to hit your life. And that's the blessings of God. So Deuteronomy 1 and 2, it talks about that lift, that supernatural uplift in life, that supernatural blessing in life that hits your life, and it lifts everything in your life. Or the suppression. You don't trust God's promise. You don't trust His word. You're not living in the word. If the word's not living in you daily, how many of you guys have ever heard these two words together? Daily bread. Anybody ever heard that? That's because that's how it works. God's bread is like His manna. See, His manna, you know, the children of Israel for 40 years were in the wilderness. God fed them every day. And you know what they did? They complained that God did it daily. Why can't you give us a week's supply? Why can't we get a month's supply? We could get a lot more done if we're not thinking, is God going to supply tomorrow? See, the reason they were in the wilderness that long, the reason they were living in the suppression that they lived in the wilderness is because they couldn't trust God on a daily basis. And that's all God's asking you to do. All God's asking you to do is trust Him today. You get up tomorrow, you trust Him tomorrow. Man, how many of you guys are worried about tomorrow? Do you understand how foolish that is? Man, the Bible says don't worry about tomorrow. Man, today's problems are sufficient therein. Meaning, you're going to have some issues tomorrow. But is God faithful or not? Are things bad? Could things come at you that appear to be bad? Absolutely. But you know what the Bible promises? Before they get to your life, God turns them to good. And you know what? Man, that's not, well, you know what? Man, God taught me something with that calamity. No, you know what? It's that we're putting a trust in His promise. And then you know what God becomes? Our buckler and our shield. Either God's the shield of your life or He's not. Either you have the shield of faith, which is able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one, or you don't. And you know what that shield of faith is? It's God's word that you're proclaiming out of your mouth. And then you know what? Man, that shield goes hand in hand with the sword of the Spirit, where you're able to take new ground. You know, it's interesting. Go back, put up Deuteronomy 28:1 just for a minute. This is something that's ironic. How does, give me the first three words. Everybody read aloud, okay? The first three words of Deuteronomy 1. Ready? Read. Okay, now read the first two words. Now just read the first word. Now go to Deuteronomy 28:15. Now read the first three words. Go ahead, ready? Read. The first word's but. It goes from now to but. What God's plan is now. And then you know what He says? But. You know what but? When that word but is applied, what happens is everything that was said prior to this is inconsequential. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't matter. So it doesn't matter what God's promised you. And I'm telling you, that's how most people live their lives. Most people live their lives after that but. And what we've got to understand is, wait a second, I want to live in the now of God's promise. I want God's promises working for me now. I want God's presence in my life now. But you know what? In order for that to happen, all God's doing is asking you in Deuteronomy 28 is to, it's just to put Him first, to hearken after His word. And then you look at, and I love it goes hand in glove with the whole book of Galatians, the whole six chapters. It's the eighth chapter of Romans. But we go to Romans, the eighth chapter, in the first verse. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And what is added in the translation and repeated in verse 4, so I don't mind the addition in the translation, who don't walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Let me just tell you, this right here, Romans 8:2, you should commit that to memory. Like, how many times do you have to read something? How many times do you have to say something? How much do you have to think about something for it to be embedded in your memory? You got to figure that out. For some of you guys, it might be instantaneous. And you know what? You're a lot smarter than me. For others of you, it might be two or three times. I mean, you've got to be able to mutter this as you're dozing off at night. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For the law of Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. It's made me free. Do you understand? My self-control, my rehabilitation, none of that stuff makes me free. I'm telling you, man, all the self-help that has ever been written, man, you know what? Bless their hearts. But I'm telling you, we can't help ourselves. That's why God had to send Jesus. So now you look at Romans 8, 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Sin is anything that separates you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Anything that separates you from God's presence. Oh God, where are you? You know what God will say? I'm right here, but your sin's in between us. That's why you can't pick me up. That's why I'm off your radar right now. Man, there's no time God's ever silent. There's no time God ever says no. So you'll think, man, God's just, man, I don't know what's going on. Man, God's not speaking to me. Do you understand? That's all God does is speak to you. But when sin's in between you and him, you can't pick it up. Because it's not your natural ears that hear him. And I understand that we preachers and a lot of Christians use terms like God spoke to me and he said, are you going to have the guts to serve me? I've said that 100 times. I've said that 1,000 times. But do you understand what happened was, is that God released me from the law of sin and death. And it got out from between he and I. Now I heard it clearly. And you'll say, sure, was that audible? It might as well have been. It was clear and it was concise and it was direct and it was aimed right for me and I received it with open arms. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Do you know how powerful that is when that's in your memory? When you're able to say it? When you're able to profess that? Man, when you're able to look at the things that plague you, you're able to look at your finances, and you'll say, how do my finances, man, how does sin affect my finances? Oh my gosh. Man, you look at people that get tangled up and then caught up and trapped in adultery. It wrecks their finances. Man, you look at it, it's just amazing. It just, man, so much of this. Man, your character begins to affect your finances. Your integrity affects your, so now you look at it, man, it's all linked. Why? Because, man, what God wants to give you, man, do you understand he's your dad and he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. For what the law couldn't do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin, on account of our separation and that we allowed something between us and God. He condemned sin in the flesh. Do you see how that works? See, God did this all. This is God's grace in action. See, you should write that down. Man, Romans 1, 2, 3, 4 is God's grace in action that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who don't walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. Man, how in the world can we do that? See, our natural minds can't understand that. Man, but you want to be free, you got to walk in the Spirit. You can't walk in the flesh anymore. Man, you know what the first thing you got to do is you got to stop freaking out over every little negative report. See, every report you get, you have to understand that if it's negative, that it's harmful for you. It brings a suppression in your life that God has a more powerful opposite report of it. And the Bible, here's the question the Bible gives us is, whose report are you going to believe? I believe the report of the Lord. Oh, we're giving you, here's the report. You've got this tumorized... cataract, you got this stage 4, big, huge. I looked at this thing. We got some health going on in our lives now, what we eat. And I picked this one thing up and I was looking at the ingredients and it said, this tastes good. It's good for you. And you can read, you can understand every ingredient. And I thought that was funny because you get a bag of chips with Chano, man. You can't understand those words. You can't get it. But see, we look at this. This is so simple. Go back to Romans 8:1. Go back. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ, who don't walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Verse 3. For what the law couldn't do, that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. Verse 4. That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who don't walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now listen, if you can look at this, if you can begin to read this, and then look at Galatians 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then you read this, and you look at these four verses, and you get these in you, I'm telling you what you're looking at. You're looking at a suppression coming off your life, which would be a curse. Remember, Deuteronomy 28, 15, the curse comes off your life. Well, now it's like, oh my gosh, what just happened? I feel like it just came alive. And then next thing you know, it's woof, this uplift hits your life. Your boss comes in and gives you a 3-year contract, unheard of in the industry. What is that? That's just the blessings of God. That follows those who walk in his favor. Man, that's all it is. Man, it's so simple. Man, you have to understand, you're gonna get simple truth in here. There's not gonna be much that you can't understand because I believe that's the Bible. And you know what this produces? It produces verse 5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. It's your mindset. But if you live according to the Spirit, you set your mind on the things of the Spirit. The way you do anything is the way you do everything. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death. You take all the report the world has, it's just going to produce a suppression. There's no life in it. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Do you know what's synonymous with that word peace? In the Greek, prosperity. Get over it. Please. God cares about your prosperity. God has promised your prosperity. Why did God want people out of Egypt? Why did he want to get his people through the wilderness? Why did he want to get it to the promised land? It was the land that flows with milk and honey. It's the land of, listen, more than enough. What God promises us to be spiritually minded is life and prosperity. It's life and prosperity. And let me tell you what that is freedom. And if you quit thinking about zeros and commas and dollar signs for a second, and you just start thinking about having control of your own life, listen, worry-free, anxiety-free. Look at Philippians 4:19. And my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And my God shall supply all of my need, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Wow. He has just removed that needy, that victim, that defeatist, that negative. All of that has been my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I love the order of what Paul writes in Philippians 4 here of Jesus. He doesn't say according to Jesus Christ. See, that's not flippant. That's not just haphazard of whether it's Christ Jesus or Jesus Christ. Every single time in the Word, where you see the order being Jesus Christ, the action is man to God. But conversely, every time you see it where it's Christ Jesus, the action is God to man. And my God shall supply all of your need What do I have to do? You go back to Deuteronomy 1:2, 28:1-2. What does it say? Man, I'm going to hearken after the voice of the Lord. How are you going to hear God's voice? You got to know his word. What's God always going to be speaking? He's going to be speaking his word. He takes counsel in his own word. He wants to be reminded of his word. Do you know my word? Man, let me know you know my word. I speak his word. I don't have to go to God and say, God, I got some need here. Oh, God, I got rent. Oh, God. Oh, God, they're going to take my truck. Oh, God, I didn't really fill my quota last month, and I feel like I'm going to lose my job. God, can you help me? God, can you strike my boss with blindness? Can you do that for me one time, God? Don't make him blind, God. Just stick your thumbs in his eyes so he can't see. And then it'll be, no, that's not how we communicate with God. We say, God, I thank you for your promise. God, I put you first in my life. All my needs met according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God, I thank you now. As for me and my house, we're to serve you, God. You know those kids or that husband or that wife or whomever that's running all jack-legged out there? Let me just tell you, they're not going to be able to do it. They can't withstand someone standing on God's promise. And you'll say, well, God's never going to usurp his authority over some other man's will. Really? Contact Saul of Tarsus. I don't think Jesus was trying to be a gentleman to Saul. Saul's on his back on the ground saying, hey, whoa, 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 don't hit me anymore. I got it. What do you want me to do? Worked. And the next verse, 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen. This is going to be awesome. You who can listen up tonight, to the glory of God, listen, through us, all of God's promises are yes, all of God's promises are amen, to the glory of God through me. Do you see that? His promises work through us. The world's never gonna understand. The world's never gonna even be able to see. The world's never gonna witness God's promise until they're revealed through us. See, that's how powerful the church is. That's how important it is for us to hear this. Man, we look at it. We've got to get over ourselves. We got to get over the religion that we might have picked up through life. We got to understand that well-meaning grandmamas and well-meaning preachers out there, man, just might have been wrong. Man, nowhere in the Word does it say the Lord helps those who help themselves, yet 80% of church-going people would say that's their favorite scripture. So you go, well, what do you mean? God didn't say that? No. We can't help ourselves. That's why God sent Jesus. That's why he's the answer. That's where the freedom is. If you can do this for me, let me rephrase that. If you can do this for you, if you can go back through these notes, if you didn't write them down, start writing them down. Start having a vested interest in this. Don't treat this like it's a comedy act up here and you're just here for the entertainment. It's not that entertaining. But you know, if you write this down, you think, you know, the word, it's life to those who find it. It's health to all their flesh. Life to those who find it is what? A lift. Man, that it removes the suppression. Man, I'm telling you, I don't even think you'd have to have a word of knowledge in this room to know that there's people throughout this room watching on the internet right now that have a demonic suppression on their lives. That God, all God wants that to, is that just to be removed so that he can lift everything. You can't serve God and mammon. You know, all Jesus is saying there is, man, you just have to tithe. Just that breaks the power of mammon in your life. And this becomes really easy. You're not late for work anymore. Man, you get your job done plus with a great attitude. You're a joy to work with. I'm telling you, it's what people need to see out of church people. But you know what? We've gotten too condemning. They've got some liberal attitudes. You know, all I see on that is a big, huge target. I'm like, oh my gosh. They might be on my account. And I love that. I love people that disagree because of experiences they've had with other people like us. And because of the way we live our lives, they can turn things around. We're not here to put more rules and regulations on people. We're here to let them know that it's the blood of Jesus that remits our sin.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information about this message and others, please visit gutschurch.com.